How do you put a dollar value on something that in some ways is just priceless, like the Mona Lisa or biodiversity? Researchers in a new paper try to do just that with one specific ecosystem service provided by Grasslands, soil carbon storage. Bruce Hungate is the director of the Center for Ecosystem Science and Society at Northern Arizona University. He's also the lead author of a paper on this. And I asked him what he was trying to accomplish with this analysis.
We know that nature has value in the food it provides for us, in the products it provides for us. It cleans up our drinking water. It cleans up our air. But it's hard to quantify economically what that value is. And that was really the focus of our project.
Practically speaking, then, like, why does having a dollar value on biodiversity, what do you hope that folks will do with that, either policymakers or just, you know, regular people?
Yeah, why would we want to monetize something as wonderful as nature, right? There's a lot of me that objects to that idea viscerally because it doesn't feel right. But when you think about money being a currency that can be translated in a number of different ways, it might be useful. For example, if you're thinking about, oh, should we keep this native forest intact or should we raise it and clear cut it for development? Well, one of the ways you might evaluate that is from a purely monetary standpoint. And that forces you to recognize, hey, actually this forest stand intact and natural is actually already providing us services that are valuable. And if we're going to consider changing it, you know, cutting it down, then we ought to be aware of the value that we're losing when we make that decision.
How do you go about trying to put a dollar value on something which inherently doesn't really have one? I mean, how do you try to objectively say, yes, this stand of forest is worth X amount, and having this species have its habitat right here is worth Y amount?
Right. Well, it turns out most economists would argue that if there is some utility or benefit to people, then that utility or benefit can be monetized, whether it's looking at nature for aesthetic beauty or obtaining food from it or valuing it in terms of producing clean air or carbon storage for climate protection. All of those things can be monetized.
Ideally for you, how would policymakers use this? I mean, would it be sort of a value-added kind of thing? Would it be to show them, well, look, this is, you know, sort of priceless to have this section of rainforest or have this segment of biodiversity in the Sonoran Desert or in the grasslands or wherever?
Yeah. Well, the first thing it's important to recognize is that we just valued one small piece of what ecosystems do for people in terms of carbon storage. And when you multiply our approach across all the services that ecosystems provide, from aesthetic to recreation to clean water and clean air, you know, that value is going to go way up. And so I think that such valuations could have a place in discussions about land use if they're done comprehensively and fairly, that say, you know, when we look across all the services this ecosystem provides, here's an estimate of the value we obtain. And then along with that, one has to consider also the fact that biodiversity and ecosystems have intrinsic value that's not quantifiable monetarily, and that also ought to be considered.
How subjective are these values, do you think? I mean, it seems like you would have to balance, for example, in a situation like if you were to say, okay, there's this plant in the rainforest that can be used to make medicine that can, you know, help treat some terrible illness, but it's also the habitat for an endangered species. How do you try to monetize or quantify the monetary value of a particular use for that plant?
Yeah, it's especially hard when you consider that, of course, right now we don't know what all the potential uses are. And so if you really are trying to do a complete valuation, you might want to include some element of uncertainty about future use that we haven't yet discovered, and the fact that these organisms, if they're lost to extinction, are not retrievable. So that's a value that's permanently lost. It's not easy. What our approach tried to put forward is this idea that it's possible.
You mentioned that on some level, you yourself are kind of conflicted by the concept of what you guys are doing. I'm curious what kind of reaction you've heard from people, you know, folks in the scientific community, in the environmental community, in the economics community, about this idea of basically monetizing a piece of nature.
So far, the reaction has been positive. It's still fairly young, and I'm anticipating some less enthusiastic reactions that basically do tap into that idea that, hey, wait a minute, this is nature, it's not money. What are you doing? You know, and there's certainly something to that argument. At the same time, it's incumbent upon us to explore all these facets of how we might consider the services that nature provides to people, and economics is one of them. So that will be my response when those naysayers get angry with me.
Bruce Hungate is director of the Center for Ecosystem Science and Society at NAU and lead author of a paper on the economic value of grassland species for carbon storage. It was published in Science Advances. We'll post a link at theshow.kjzz.org.